We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Bite.
Welcome to the Beaver Sports Podcast, brought to you by Hom Kombucha. It's feel-good, taste-good kombucha, packed with probiotics and boosted with B12 vitamins. Brewed in Bend, Oregon for Beaver Nation. Here are your hosts, Mike Parker and John Warren.
Welcome into our first 2020 podcast, and it's Zach Reichel, our first guest out of the chute for the first time. As we get back off of the holiday schedule and back into a regular routine with podcasts each week. And a real pleasure to have Zach coming off the tremendous win for the Beaver men's basketball team and his best weekend, I thought, in his Oregon State career. So we're going to get into all of that here in a moment. As always, our podcast brought to you by Hom Kombucha, handcrafted with love in Bend for Beaver Nation. Fizzy, delicious, made with antioxidants, probiotics, and all organic ingredients. Hom Kombucha. I could use a lot of all of those ingredients right about now, working my way through an early bit of the crud or the stuff here in 2020, but appreciate Zach taking time for us. Zach, let's start with the most recent. I mean, these podcasts are longer form, so we're going to find out a little bit about your days growing up, your family, your mom as a teacher, 56 points in a high school game, some of the things that we haven't really talked to you about in the course of your Oregon State career. But let's start with the win over Colorado and just how exciting it was to be part of that.
Yeah, it was awesome. Obviously, coming off after a loss from Utah that we thought we should have got, you know, we knew we had to get a split on the road. So Colorado is a really tough place to play, and they're a really good team. Obviously, a top 25 team now, and they beat Oregon earlier in the week. So it was definitely a good win to get, you know, coming in, coming back home.
You know, this is, I want to make this the last time I ever bring this up, but it is curious. I went with you guys to Wyoming at 7,300 feet. Colorado was 5. Yeah. Do you feel effects from that?
I felt it way more at Wyoming, I'm going to be honest. So at Wyoming, I was, first couple of minutes, I was gasping for air. I'm not going to lie about that. But no, I didn't really feel it at Colorado. I'd say more so last year because it was the first time I really play up there before, but I think maybe being at Utah first maybe helped a little bit and have us get used to it. But no, last game I didn't really feel as much.
Zach, what were the things that you did as a team that enabled you to pull that out that made it such a great win. I consider it one of Coach Tinkle's best wins in his career at Oregon State. What did you do? What did you guys sort of discover and find together?
I think it was more so just our intensity on the defensive end, just locking in on defense, getting stops. You know, earlier in the game, it was kind of a trade for buckets type of game, and obviously you can't win like that on the road. So I think it was 6 or 7 minutes. I think it was just our defensive intensity and our mindset. And, you know, Coach was telling us in film yesterday is that we have no excuses anymore because he knows what we're capable of on the defensive end now. So I think, yeah, the biggest thing was just our intensity on defense.
That's funny because he said to Mike in the postgame show, oh, they blew it. They can't get away with anything that. Yeah, blowing the cover. Was there anything, though, team chemistry-wise or a look or anything in a huddle? Because that's quite a dramatic turnaround.
Yeah, obviously that 1-3-1 helped and we threw that at them. But like I said earlier, I think it was more of our intensity. I think every time we held it up, there's no 12-point play at once, so we just got to take it 2 or 3 points at a time, even 1 point at a time, with free throws. So just keep chipping away, especially on the road. And we took it one play at a time and made plays on the stretch.
You mentioned the road. I'm real curious about how much you pay attention to opposing crowds, if you hear cat calls. But in the case of Sunday's win over Colorado, could you sense that they may have been coming in pretty full of themselves or happy after that win over Oregon and then getting up on you guys for most of the game? And then during that change, did it all of a sudden get silent and you could hear some more people going, what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, I think most teams in the country, after being a top five team, they're going to be confident in themselves, and rightfully so. But it was a quick turnaround and Pac-12 play, and that's the great thing about our conference, that there's everyone's good and every game's going to be a dogfight. But in terms of the away crowd, there's always going to be people in your ear, and I hear it all the time when I'm on the wing. So yeah, it was hearing the crowd go quiet is kind of a good thing because we knew we must have been doing something right. So.
Watching them leave early was a very good sign, too. We're out of here. That was an impressive win, Zach. Even before the win at Colorado, I mentioned, and I don't know whether you would say, yeah, it is, but it strikes me as that was your best weekend as an Oregon State basketball player because you played very well at Utah, too, driving the whole 15 points. Would you concur with that?
Yeah, I'd say so. I'm not too, caught up in myself for like individual performance or anything. I'm just out there trying to do what's best for the team and help us win. The only stat that really matters to me is getting wins, so anything that I can do to help us win is what I'm going to do.
But at the same time, everyone wants to play, and even if you're thinking just of your team, you want to do well so the team does well. Nobody wants to go out there and make mistakes or anything like that. So with that, were you feeling pretty good as the weekend wore along?
Yeah, for sure. And obviously, in the Utah game, got my confidence going a little bit. And, obviously now, I knew I was capable of playing like that. But, now I know that I should go out and try to do that every game, to help our team win. So, definitely a big confidence booster as well.
Drained a couple of big threes in the comeback against Colorado, the come from behind win, and also went 9 for 9 from the free throw line. What kind of routine do you have? What's your mentality when you take free throws?
It was kind of – I haven't been shooting the ball well from the free throw line, which is really weird for me because I've always been, my entire career, kind of a 90%, 80% free throw shooter. And this year, I was just at 69%, a little bit below 70. And I think earlier in the year, it was more mental. Free throw – my dad always tells me, free throws are all mental. The skill is there. You just got to trust yourself. And obviously, first – I'd say third season, I think I was just too much in my head, and I don't think I was taking my time. And I actually spoke to one of my grandfathers before the game. It's like, it's when you go up there and take your time, take deep breaths, you make them every single time. It's when I rush my free throws, and it's when I miss. So it was kind of funny because I had that going through my head during that game. And if you go back and watch my free throws, I took my time, took my deep breaths, and they went every time. So it's just taking a break and calming myself down.
That is really interesting that you would talk to a grandfather and your dad. How much, Zach, are you still – do you talk to Coach Roche? Do you talk to people that have been part of your life on a fairly consistent basis, just about – you're in your third year here, but you still have a good support network that you're in touch with?
Yeah, obviously I'm very blessed. Being from Oregon, I have a huge support system in my entire family, everyone here. I'm still very, very close with Coach Roche, and my brother's still on the team at Wilsonville, so I talk to him all the time, just like stuff I see, because I'm not able to go to, you know, all his games, obviously. So my dad records all of them, and I watch all of them after they're done. But yeah, I talk to them all the time. You know, they help give me, you know, tips on, like, you know, my shot and everything. But they're very good at you know, drawing the fine line. They know that they're not here and they're not coaching me or anything, so. You know, they're not there to tell me, oh, you should do this on the court, this on the court. You know, they know that's not their place at all. And, you know,
they just wait for you to ask?
Yeah, just like, you know, I'll call my dad and be like, what's wrong with my shot? You know, what do you think? Like, stuff like that. You know, he's the one who taught me to shoot, so.
Well, I wish my kid did that.
So, you know, I'll text my grandfather, or I'll talk to Coach Roach. But, you know, they're not there coaching me, you know, oh, what I should do in the game. They know that's the coach's job. So they're just there, you know, for moral support. And if I ask them a question, they'll answer. But, you know, they're very good at drawing that fine line between, you know, helping me out and trying to coach me, because they know that's not their place anymore. So I think that's one thing I love about them, is that. You know, they know that's Coach Tinkle, Coach Rupp, all their jobs to do. So that's one great thing about having them as a support system.
Zach Reichel joining us for this week's edition of the podcast. You, mentioning your dad teaching you to shoot and how close you are with them, it gets me to thinking about childhood. What kind of system did you grow up under? Meaning, did you have gyms that you could always go to, or were you in the driveway just constantly shooting baskets?
It was driveway mainly, honestly. Growing up, I mean, obviously the high school's 30 seconds from my house, but growing up, I actually wasn't really planning on going to Louisville on the way. I played AAU with a bunch of my inner city friends. I was planning on going to one of the inner city schools, like Central Catholic or Jesuit or something like that. But yeah, I was mainly just in the driveway and, you know, just practicing with my dad after AAU practice and all that.
Zach, what about that growing up that John alludes to? When did you first did you have a basketball in your hands at a real young age?
Really?
Were you shooting hoops at a young age and kind of know, hey, I have a chance to be pretty good at this?
Yeah, I mean, I started at a very young age, but I didn't really I always took basketball serious, and I always knew it was my favorite sport, but I didn't. I kind of decided I wanted to play college basketball around freshman year, high school, eighth grade. So that's when I knew, it was like, I knew I had to, you know, possibly have the potential to play at that level. So that's when I started taking it a lot more serious.
Did you also know that you, family-wise, were going to be taller? I mean, you can want all you want at 5'8". I really wanted, but it wasn't going to happen. But you knew that trajectory-wise, you'd be in a height situation where if you practiced and worked hard enough with talent, you could make it happen?
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, my mom's pretty tall, so I knew I had that going for me. My uncles are pretty tall, too. So, yeah, I just, you know, with hard work and practice, I didn't. You know, we always say it didn't really matter what height I was. If you put in the work and, you know, want it, then, you know, go for it. You know, you'll achieve it.
What if you ask your dad? I mean, you told me the other day prior to the Colorado game, you said, every time the ball leaves my hand, I believe it's going in.
Yeah.
From three-point range, or whether you're attacking the basket. But if you ask, Dad, what's wrong with my shot? Has there been something, any sort of thing that you've looked at on film or anything that you're making adjustments on?
I think the biggest thing was, you know, I asked him, I was like, you know, he was watching film too, and he asked me if anything changed, you know, if something changed my shot. I'm like, no, like, I haven't changed my shot. But I think the biggest thing was legs and arc, and that was the biggest thing. That's one thing he always told me, more legs, more arc. And I felt like I was having that, but obviously I adjusted that more when they were going in. But another thing was it's part of the math, and he always used to tell me you can't cheat the math. So, you know, you're going to have times where you're, you know, way above average, and you're going to have times when you're way below average, you know. Yeah, he just keeps encouraging me. If you, you know, you're in the gym every day shooting, practicing, I'm like, yeah, you know, I have been doing that. I've been working my tail off on my shot. He's like, well, then it's just part of the math right now. You just got to keep working. So he's just, right now you're just on the bottom end of the curve, and, you know, the averages will come up, you know, as time goes on. You know, keep practicing, keep shooting.
How old were you when you were able to beat him?
Oh, geez, I don't know. He probably still thinks he can beat me now. But
did he play some high school ball, college ball at all?
Yeah, he did. But he was my dad was he always loved sports. He was a lot more different than me. He didn't have the opportunities I did. And one thing he always used to tell me, he wished he had the opportunities that I did in, you know, eighth grade and high school to play ball like I did. He was more, you know, into, you know, cars, and he's like handyman. Obviously, he was a military guy too, so he did that after high school. But You know, he has a lot of knowledge, and even though he may not seem like he knows a lot about the game, he really, really does. So just, you know, blessed to have the parents I did growing up.
What about your mom? She's a teacher. Where does she teach? What level? And did you kind of grow up in a household where academic, school, books, all of that pretty important?
Yeah. So she's like a kindergarten teacher in Salem. She's like the owner now, main principal. It was my grandma's school for about 50-plus years until she retired, and then my mom took over. So, yeah, she teaches there now. And growing up, obviously, school was a big thing, and they wanted to put us in the school district where, you know, we achieve our best academic, you know, achievements, you know, possibly. She also played at University of Portland, so walked on. So that's, you know, something I had going for me too. But I'd say in my house, I'd say my mom was more, even though she was the Division I athlete in the house, I'd say she's more of the peacekeeper in a way.
With three boys.
So I'd say my dad, a lot of the competitiveness and fire came from my dad, and athleticism and everything came from my mom.
What about, you mentioned you were thinking of playing in inner city high school basketball. What changed, and was there ever any pull from West Lynn? Because I know if you were close, you were closer to Wilsonville High School, as you mentioned. So, but I don't know how that works nowadays. I know that Wilsonville was an offshoot of West Lynn. Peyton Pritchard was there. Was there pressure by them to say, hey, come over here and we'll build a dynasty?
I wouldn't really say that. I'd say more so like jokingly, like as I got older. I'd say the biggest thing for Wilsonville, it's kind of weird because, you know, making a high school decision shouldn't seem like that big of a deal, but I wanted to go to the place where I felt like I could have the best success. And obviously Coach Roach and I are actually neighbors, so we've always lived by him. And I never really got to know him growing up because I never played in the Wilsonville basketball system. I always played AAU, so I never played, you know, really in the Wilsonville system. And just after getting to know him, and, you know, in my opinion, he's one of the best, if not the best, high school coach ever to come through Oregon. And so, you know, the biggest thing, I wanted to have great coaching, and that's one thing my parents taught me. You know, he taught me so much more. I mean, when you go to a program like that, so much more than basketball. You know, he has life lessons within practice and all that. So the basketball coach he is already was already enough, but then the type of person he is, it's awesome. You know, he's a person I have a relationship with my entire life, so he's like another father to me. So yeah, I'm still super close with him.
And all of those things, you talk about the life lessons and so on too, but there also must have been just a tremendous basketball acumen, so that you were fundamentally, I mean, the fundamentals and all the way to play the game the right way, you learned that from Coach Roach also?
Yeah, for sure. And I think the biggest thing was selflessness, or, you know, being unselfish with him at that program. That's a huge thing. Everything's about team, and I think that's where a big part of the person I am and how, you know, how to be unselfish, I think I got that a lot from him. Even though there was times where I may not see that, and I may have gotten mad with him. I'm like, what is this guy talking about? What is he saying? Like, it makes no sense. And now that I'm older and I understand everything that he was doing, and, you know, why being unselfish mattered so much, and why team first was, you know, the biggest thing. And obviously, I think I brought that to, you know, any team aspect that I'm involved in. But yeah, it was awesome, you know, to have him, and also Papa Roach, his father, who was there. I mean, he's a legend in Oregon basketball. So to have, you know, those two guys kind of by your side for your four-year high school career is pretty awesome.
Yeah, and we're both old enough to see the elder Roach and his greatness at Churchill and where he coached.
We are wrapping things up with Zach Reichel, who has a practice to get to. Our podcast brought to you by Lacrosse Boots, done right since 1897. So looking back at your high school days, do you think about those days to win back-to-back state titles, to make a three in one of those years to help you win the game, to have a 56-point game? I also read, and it's on YouTube, a throwdown dunk you had against Liberty. Have you dunked here at Oregon State, and are we going to see you dunk again like that?
Probably not, honestly. Yeah, I don't think that'll happen. But, you know,
why not?
I don't know. I just
happened in that play against Liberty? Were you just on a breakaway?
To be honest, I was having like a struggling a little bit that game. I was just super mad, and I guess I just had the adrenaline going. And that was just, I guess, an angry dunk. So.
Zach, you're 6'5". You ought to be able to throw down behind the back.
Oh, I know. Maybe one game, but.
We'll close with a thought about. Yeah, I'm always, John, I know you love this too. In the media guide, there's questionnaires that Scheffler gives and other SIDs give. Okay, fill this out. Yeah. Do you have brothers? And I do want to ask you a little bit about Gabe and your other brother, Jake, I believe, how old he is and where they're at, kind of. But when one of the questions is favorite athlete, and you know what his answer is? Larry Bird.
I saw that and I loved it. I loved that.
How in the world as a young man like yourself, how did Larry Bird become your favorite athlete?
Obviously, I'm not old enough to have watched him, and a lot of people give me weird looks when I say that. But that's kind of like our family basketball player, I'd say. Growing up, they would show us kids, videos of, Larry Bird, Michael Jordan. I kind of grew up on, those old school type players, and, my dad always used to say, Larry Bird may have not been the most athletic, but he was sure one heck of a player, and found different ways to get a shot off, and the way he passed, one of the best passers ever played the game. So definitely on like my mom's side of family, that's like our family player, like my Uncle Greg and Uncle Jeff. That's their favorite player, and then my Uncle Greg's in Jeff's backyard, we have a street sign that says Larry Bird, like Avenue or something. So, yeah, I guess just kind of growing up, that's just...
I just recently saw a documentary on Bird, and one thing you haven't taken from him, he was one of the biggest trash talkers in the NBA.
Yeah.
Do you do any of that?
I'd say more so in high school than now. I think now I just try to keep my mouth shut, play hard, and, the score will do the talking, so...
Let's close with your brothers and how proud you are of how Gabe, I know he's being recruited as well. He'll go on to play D1 hoop somewhere. That's his decision in his life. But what about Jake? How old is he? Where is he playing ball too?
Jake's 16. He actually doesn't go to Wilsonville. He took a different path than Gabe and I. He's a lacrosse and football player, big lacrosse player, very good lacrosse player. So and it's obviously a new sport, probably originated out east. So it's making its way out west a little bit. But, yeah, he's actually very, very good. He plays the face-off position, and they call it FOGO in lacrosse. I'm still learning rules of lacrosse. So, he plays he faces off, and, it's basically, the guys in hockey, you try to get the puck first or something. But, yeah, he's actually just got back from California from a tournament. They won the championship, which is good. But, yeah, he's looking to play lacrosse somewhere. He doesn't really know yet, but I think that sport suits him real well because it's a very – it's a physical sport, and you got two big brothers beating up on him his whole life. And he definitely has he's got a fire in his eyes like me, being the little brother, can't really back down from anything. So he's not afraid of anyone and has a lot of motivation. So I think just by, their work ethics, I think they're going to be just fine.
You went through the process yourself. Do you stay completely out of Gabe's life in terms of advice about the recruiting process and all of that? What's your level of relationship with him when it comes to that?
Yeah, I'm very, close with my brothers. I try to talk to him all the time. I'd say Jake and I are more extroverted than Gabe. Gabe's a lot more close to the vest and quiet. So sometimes he'll take me, I don't say yell at him, but hey, tell me something. I'm trying to help you out here. And he's doing just fine. And, yeah, I give him advice all the time. I talked to him yesterday about that whole thing. Just give him advice on what to say to coaches and, how to present yourself and, be, honest, straightforward, and, polite. So, yeah, I think he's doing great with that whole thing. And he'll probably decide after the basketball season where he wants to go and who's still recruiting him and everything. So.
It has been a real pleasure, Zach. Thanks for taking time for us in this long-form interview to get to a lot of things we don't have time for in our little pregame show conversations. So thanks for doing this. We appreciate it. Good luck against the Arizonas this weekend.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Zach Reichel, our guest on the podcast, Doc. And I'm going to let you close on the visit, Corvallis, which he did also UC Irvine, but we're glad that he came to Oregon State.
Well, that's true. That's true. Visit Corvallis. Experience Beaver Game Day fun live in Corvallis. Extend your stay and take in all the Willamette Valley has to offer. Visit Corvallis. Come for the game, stay to play. And these podcasts are also brought to you by Lacrosse Boots, done right since 1897.
Had to get lacrosse in again based on the lacrosse love that Zach just shared with us.
Which, by the way, is an up-and-coming sport. I'm big time. It's becoming more and more popular. More high schools are having their own teams.
The great Jim Brown, maybe the greatest running back the NFL ever saw, was a lacrosse player also at Syracuse. We will wrap it up on that note. Do it again next week. Thanks for joining us for this week's edition of the Beaver Sports Podcast. So long, everybody.
This has been the Beaver Sports Podcast, brought to you by Hum Kombucha. It's feel good, taste good kombucha, packed with probiotics and boosted with B12 vitamins. Brewed in Bend, Oregon for Beaver Nation. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Beaver Sports Network.